This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ron Insana, Senior Advisor to Schroders North America. And as we well know, in recent days and weeks, Chinese markets have been in the news for a wide variety of reasons. Not only have there been geopolitical discussions around China, trade issues, but also market behavior and performance has come to the fore in the last several days and weeks around a wide variety of developments on the mainland. Joining me now to talk about where we stand with respect to China is Tom Wilson. He is head of emerging market equities at Schroders. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, Ron.
Okay, so Tom, there's been a rather large increase in regulatory pressure in China. There's been a particular focus on the technology sector. Why all of a sudden has the Chinese government decided to engage in what we're calling here in the States anyway, a crackdown?
Yeah, I think there are different drivers here. So let's run through them. The first one would be a need in certain circumstances for regulation where the pace of innovation has just run ahead. And that really is the same as you might have in developed market in relation to tech companies. Secondly, you get a desire to bolster Communist Party legitimacy. And related to that, you get a relatively new focus in China from President Xi on what is termed common prosperity. So China in recent decades has seen huge economic success, but inequality has been rising. And there is a desire that economic gain is more widely spread. And actually, in a way, there are similarities here to what's going on politically in developed markets as well. Other drivers, well, you've got a desire to ensure companies are aligned with strategic goals of the state. So not only does the private sector need to be more considerate of the common good in relation to, for example, common prosperity, but also given US-China tension, you are moving towards potentially a more polarized world. And potentially you will see an ongoing issue in China's access to leading edge technology. So the Chinese have a strong desire to move towards tech self-sufficiency. And you have huge intellectual and huge financial capacity in the private sector to support that ongoing push towards tech self-sufficiency, be it from a software standpoint in relation to AI or maybe from a hardware perspective in relation to logic.
What we've seen is that China's been, as a result of some of this anyway, among the worst performing markets in the world. H shares are down about 12%. Shanghai's down more than 1%. The only other markets that we see really down around the world are Turkey and Chile. Was this expected?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's unexpected because effectively you have uncertainty driven by regulation. And you have not just the standard regulation, so focus on antitrust or sort of issues of inequality or gig labor practice. You have other elements of regulation relating to a potential review of VIE structures. And generally, regulation drives uncertainty, which drives a higher risk premium and also potentially drives a suppression of returns. So market deterioration is normally expected when you have relatively broad-based changes in regulation.
Now, there's an acronym that you've been focused on, VIEs. First of all, could you explain what they are and then tell us why they're having an impact on market behavior?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so VIE structures basically get used to circumvent limits on foreign ownership. So if you're a China tech name and you're seeking to attract capital from foreign shareholders and there's a limitation on foreign ownership, then you might employ a VIE structure in order to list in the US. And VIE structures or variable interest entities are contractual agreements that provide access to the economic benefit of a company without actual ownership of the underlying assets. And they've been an accepted norm for some period of time, and they represent actually a reasonable share of now of the MSCI emerging market benchmark. So what's happened? Well, in recent days, you saw a move to review, recently you've seen two things. Number one, move to review VIE M&A. And secondly, tied into the education reform, you saw a move to disallow VIE structures in the private education space. And therefore, that led to a reassessment of risk as to whether the structures are actually under threat. And therefore, you saw a very marked increase in the risk premium associated with any stock that employed a VIE structure.
Tom, there's been some specific pressures, regulatory pressures put on educational companies, tutorial companies. Can you explain why the government is, as we say in the West, cracking down on those companies and their profitability models?
Yeah, I mean, education is highly competitive in China. And so it's very competitive to get into the top universities, which then can define your life chances. And so as a result of that, there's very strong demand for private tutoring. And this brings with it two issues. Number one, you get very material burden on young students, and that can bring with it issues of societal harm. And number two, there's a very heavy cost associated with private tutoring. And that brings up issues of inequality. And if you put them together, this potentially contributes to issues with the birth rate. So in China, you've got an aging population, you've got people not having enough children. And that might be because, as a parent, you want to focus all your attention and resources on a single child. So there are issues of birth rate, there are issues of inequality, and you know there are other issues linked in here, such as general cost of housing, which again might deter people from having more children. So really, this is part of Communist Party legitimacy and national interest together, which is driving the reform in the education space.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to the Investor Download.
So now, with respect to some of these companies, many, of course, Chinese companies have listed in the United States through what we call American depository receipts, which are really just proxies for shares of Chinese companies that trade in their domestic markets. Chinese government has made some suggestion or given some indication that it's not terribly thrilled about companies listing here in the U.S., Didi being a great case in point. What do you think is going on there?
I think that's an issue of control, which is linked in generally to the regulation. So issues of control of data and a simple desire not to see companies list in the U.S. Now, obviously, the U.S. in itself might drive delistings on a forward-looking basis. So you've had, for example, the Holding Foreign Companies Accountable Act, which was signed off at the end of Trump's term. That basically specifies 3 years for provision of certain documents relating to audits to the PCAOB. If they don't do that, then you get delisted. So it might not be the Chinese who necessarily force delisting. The US might force it. But on the Chinese side, it is clear that they would prefer that companies don't list in the States. Now, we don't necessarily see this as being materially detrimental. Obviously, the US represents a huge pool of capital, and tech companies from China also might want to list there for reasons of status, for reasons of comparability with US listed tech names. But when you list in Hong Kong, you can get approval for Southbound Connect, i.e. for Chinese mainland investors to buy your stock. And there is a huge pool of savings in China. So our expectation is that US listed Chinese companies probably will, if they already have listings in Hong Kong, have a dual listing in Hong Kong, and they might through time delist from the US. But we don't expect this to be materially detrimental to their valuation.
Now, having said that, with respect to valuation, we've seen some very well-known Chinese technology companies see their shares fall 35% to 50%. Broadly speaking, without necessarily identifying any individual company, is that overdone, or is that placing a discount really on those shares given the regulatory risk that seemingly now exists?
Yeah, you've got a lot of uncertainty in the market at the moment. So you've got the regulatory uncertainty and its impact on corporate returns. You've got uncertainty relating to VIE structures. You've got uncertainty regarding the impact on corporate returns of a sort of push to better align the interests of private sector and national interest. You've got uncertainty generally about the impact on the economy and the private sector of a shift in policy towards what's termed common prosperity. So all of that uncertainty has lifted the risk premium and also driven an expectation that returns will be suppressed. So that's driven the market stress. So what now? Now, you would hope that you would get some degree of confirmation from Chinese authorities that VIE structures will be respected. That's important. Secondly, hopefully you'll begin to see a degree of regulatory stability. And so if new rules have been established and you see a degree of stability thereafter in regulation, then that might give people the opportunity to assess what the operational impact is, what the impact on returns is going to be, and the risk premium might begin to come in somewhat. But it might take time for that risk premium to come down because it might take time for the uncertainty to clear.
So, Tom, having said all this, how would you view China as an investment proposition as part of a global emerging markets mandate?
We have been cautious throughout the first half on China. Initially, it's a function of valuation because China had a very good 2020. It managed COVID well in terms of implementing stringent lockdowns, controlling the virus, seeing normalization ahead of other countries. But also it had a supportive composition of benchmarks, so relatively heavy in the tech names, which performed very well through last year. And through this year, we've been concerned about a couple of things. Number one was a rollover in China's credit impulse. It peaked out in Q1 and has moved negative. And number two was obviously the broadening out of regulatory pressure. And then as a side issue, we've also had a softer than expected consumption environment. So we were already cautious and we have remained cautious. And actually, as a function of Chinese negative credit impulse, there is some impact on the rest of GEM from that. So it's a links into import demand, to commodity prices, for example, and also is linked into emerging EPS generally. Now, looking forward from here, regulatory headwinds could potentially fade. And also, you might see the authorities take the foot off the brake in terms of stimulus withdrawal. So maybe you get those two things taking place. And from a medium-term standpoint, you know, China for us is still a very large market. We still see very high levels of innovation. It remains clearly very integrated into the global economic system. It will remain for a very long period of time, major supplier to the rest of the world. But then on the other hand, you know, tension will, in our view, persist between China and the US, and there are implications from that.
All right, Tom, we appreciate this, and we will update this conversation, no doubt, in the relatively near future. Appreciate your time. Tom Wilson, head of emerging market equities for Schroders. I'm Ron Insana. This has been the U.S. Lens. We'll talk to you again in just a matter of days or weeks. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back soon.
Well, that was the show. We very much hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more, check out our website, schroders.com/theinvestor download. You can also get in contact with us about anything in the show or ideas for future shows at schroderspodcast@schroders.com. Please remember to subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave a review. We're now doing one show a week, which will be available every Thursday from 5 p.m. UK time. Thanks very much for listening, but above all, keep safe and go well. Cheers.